Gracious Father, I pray that you would give us of your Holy Spirit, that we may give attention to the preaching of your word, and we pray that you would bless it and use it according to your good and perfect will. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Our topic, our sermon title this morning is False Prophets. The text, as was included in your first scripture lesson, Jeremiah 23:9-15, the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 9-15. And there Jeremiah says, "My heart within me was broken because of the prophets, and all my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of the curse of the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. The course of life is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore, their ways shall be to them as slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them, for I will bring disaster on them the year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy by Baal and cause my people Israel to err. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them, like Sodom, are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out in all the land." That is a reading of our text. And I want to share with you that one of the themes that runs through the book of Jeremiah is that sin pollutes the land. That is probably the main lesson that we can learn from the text before us this morning. God's people are to walk uprightly before the Lord if they expect the land to be blessed of the Lord. And we see this not only in Jeremiah, but we see it in the other books of the Old Testament. And it is one of the themes that is not really emphasized in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, we see very clearly that God says sin pollutes the land. God told Abram that he wasn't going to get the land of promise. His posterity was going to get it because the iniquity of the Canaanites was not yet full. It took them 400 years before their iniquity was full. But the land, it is said in Deuteronomy, spewed out the people. The land spewed out the people. Also, we see in Genesis, when God confronted Cain about the death of Abel, he said, "Your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground." Very important concept. The other lesson that we can glean from the text before us this morning is that false prophets cause the people to err. False prophets cause the people to err. Last week I saw about 30 minutes of Dr. Phil's program, and he had as a guest T.D. Jakes, I think that's his name. He is the pastor of what's termed today a mega church. Some years ago, he started out with 10 people, and he's got almost 10,000 now. He was supposed to be giving Dr. Phil some assistance in counseling some troubled people on the program. And one of the things that stood out in my mind was that there was not one reference to God's holy word, the scriptures. Not one. And this is what is happening in all of the mega churches today. The mega churches are pastored by false prophets. And the message that they are giving to the people is a message that we love to hear as humans, but it has nothing to do with the word of God, really. What they are saying to the people, you don't need to be depressed. You don't need to be poor. You don't need to be cast down, because if your attitude was right and you looked inside and brought out what's in there, what God has put in there, you can be great. And you can do anything that you want to do, and you can accomplish whatever you determine you want to accomplish. People love to hear that. But those messages have nothing to do with the reality of the heinousness of sin. Nothing. They're telling people that you're okay. Now, God is going to pass over your sin. You're all right. Everybody's going to get to heaven somehow. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, when I look inside myself, all I see is a filthy, wretched sinner incapable of doing anything God would on my own. That's what I see. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible is teaching me that the only meaningful change that's going to come in my life is when I yield to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Then, and then only, am I going to experience some meaningful change. Because until that happens, I'm still a sinner. And all sinners know how to do is sin. In fact, the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But these mega church preachers are deluding people into thinking that they can change their lives. Well, beloved, you cannot change your life meaningfully. You can change it on the surface. You can go out and struggle and get a better job and get a better apartment and get a better this and a better that and a better the other thing, but you're still a sinner. And you're a sinner bound for hell unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it saddened my heart to see what this man is doing. Because the people who are listening to him don't have a clue. The false prophet causes the people to err. And people don't want to hear the true prophet. They just don't want to hear it. Man's dilemma is solved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the church ought to be preaching. This is the message that God gave to the church to preach. You are sinful. We're all sinful. And how do we get rid of our sin? Our sins were paid for on the cross by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is as fresh today as it always was. And unless we appropriate that blood, unless we plead the blood of Jesus, there is going to be no meaningful change in our lives. Let me share with you from the scriptures what people's attitude is toward the true prophet. If you turn in your Bibles to the 22nd chapter of Kings, you'll see that in the 22nd chapter of Kings, there was a visit by Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, to Ahab, who was the king of the northern kingdom, Israel. when Jehoshaphat went to visit Ahab, Ahab said to him, I've been thinking about this city, Ramoth-Gilead. Ramoth-Gilead really belongs to us, but the Syrians have it. So I'm wondering if you'll arm yourself and your men and you'll go with me to fight against Ramoth-Gilead. And Jehoshaphat said, King Ahab, don't you have some prophets here? Let's solicit the advice of the prophets. Let's find out what the prophets have to say. So Ahab called together 400 prophets. Asked the prophets, the 400 prophets, shall we go up to Ramoth-Gilead? The 400 prophets said, yeah, King, go up and prosper. The Lord will give it to you. Go up and prosper. Jehoshaphat said, King, isn't there a true prophet here of the Lord? Because he knew that these 400 prophets were telling the king what he wanted to hear. Now, beloved, if we were telling people what they wanted to hear in this place, it would be packed. So the king said, yeah, we got a prophet of the Lord here. His name is Micah. But he never prophesies good. Always prophesies evil. In fact, if you look at verse 8, so the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. So the king sent for Micaiah. Micaiah came. And Micaiah said to the king, he said, go up. The Lord will give it to you. The king said, now, Micaiah, didn't I tell you not to tell me anything except what the Lord says? So Micaiah said, well, okay. Look at verse 17. Then he said, I saw Israel scattered on the mountain as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? And Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke this manner, and another spoke that manner. Then a spirit came from the Lord and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Then one of the king's chamberlains came and smacked Micaiah on the mouth. And look at verse 26. So the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. If you return in peace, the Lord hasn't spoken by me. In other words, it's going to happen to you just like I said. Whether you hate me or not had nothing to do with it. Whether you put me in prison had nothing to do with it. Then there's another situation that I will share with you that comes from the Chronicles of the Kings, Second Chronicles 16. You have to back up, go forward. Second Chronicles 16. Second Chronicles 16 is giving an account of the activities of Asa, who was the father of Jehoshaphat. And in 2 Chronicles 15, I'm referring to 15 and 16. In 2 Chronicles 15, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. Azariah was a prophet of the Lord. The Spirit of God came upon him. And he went out to greet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Beloved, we have so many great lessons in the Old Testament in very succinct form. If you seek God and obey him, he will be found of you and will bless you. That was the message to the king. That's the message to us today. Seek the Lord and he may be found. Those who diligently seek the Lord will find him. Asa had a relatively long ministry. The Lord blessed him, richly blessed him. But then all of a sudden we see in chapter 16 that Syria came up against Judah. And what did Asa do? Asa hired Ben-Hadad and his army to help him out. And the prophet Hanani said to Asa, verse 7 of chapter 16, "And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Where were the Ethiopians and the Lubims? Were the Ethiopians and Lubims not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand.'" My, my. The next verse is one that you ought to underline in your Bibles. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars." The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God sees you. He knows you. He knows you from the inside out. He knows what you're doing and what you're not doing. And if you're supposed to be doing it or you're not supposed to be doing it, he knows. Then Asa, verse 10, look at this now. Asa was angry with the seer. Why was he angry with the seer? The seer told him what God would have him know. "Because you relied on Ben-Hadad instead of calling on the Lord, you're going to have war from now on." And Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison. For he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Beloved, it's very easy to cast down the messenger. It's very easy to put the messenger in jail. It's very easy to disregard the messenger. But whether you disregard the messenger or whether you pay attention to the messenger, the message is solid if it's from the Lord. In our text this morning, we see that the land is full of adulterers. What do we have in our land today? A land full of adulterers who think that they're doing something great, who think nobody sees me and it's okay. Now let me explain to you, in case some of you don't know this, and I know that most of you should know it. Adultery is illicit sexual activity, period. All illicit sexual activity is covered by this word adultery. But we have come to understand, and usually it refers to the sexual activity between one person who is married and one who isn't, or between two people who are married but not to each other. That's adultery. Fornication is thought of as the sex act between couples who are not married. That is, if a young boy and a young girl commit the sex act, that's fornication. Interestingly, in the Thessalonian letter, Paul says, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from sexual immorality." Sexual immorality pollutes the land. Sin pollutes the land. "My heart is broken," Jeremiah says. A consuming sadness is in Jeremiah's heart rather than an emotional sadness that causes tears. He's hurting from the inside out, but his whole person is hurting, and is hurting because of the false prophets. The false prophets are causing the people to err, and Jeremiah loved the people. And Jeremiah was so concerned with the people until he became like a drunken man, staggering because of the false prophets, and their message to the people were causing the people to err. And what was their message to the people? God said through Jeremiah, "I'm through with Judah, because Judah knows that Israel has been carried away captive, and the reason that they are carried away captive is because sin pollutes the land, and God threw them off the land. And now Judah is acting worse than Israel, and God is telling Jeremiah, you go and tell the people to submit to the Babylonians, because I'm going to judge you with the Babylonians." What are the false prophets? The false prophets were saying, "Oh, you don't know what he's talking about. Everything's going to be okay. You're cool. You got a job, you got money, you got a house, and everything going along fine. You're going to be okay. That Jeremiah, don't pay no attention to him." They were causing the people to err, because God said, if you want to live and you want to be okay, you better submit to the Babylonians, because I'm going to use them to judge you. Jeremiah is so distressed, he can't stand up straight. He has seen the righteousness of the Lord God, because God communicated with him directly. And he knew the importance of the Word of God. And beloved, I just wish, Lord knows I wish, I could get this message over. God's Word is important. He who created everything and he who sustains everything has given us his Word. And we do ourselves a great disservice when we ignore it. The seventh commandment is blatantly disregarded, and the land mourns. The land mourns because of the sins of the people. And we have these mega church people now, never challenged on their sin. Never challenged on their sin. And the books are being written, and bestsellers, and people are gobbling these books up by the thousands. No mention of sin. Well, God has withheld the rain and the wilderness is dried up and become an evil place. I want you to look at the text again. Jeremiah 23, beginning at verse 9. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine has overcome. Because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of the curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their concourse of life is evil. And their might is not right. When you study the book of Jeremiah, if you have any inkling of the history of Israel and Judah, you can sort of understand why the people hated him. In America today, we think just like the people of Israel and Judah. We think that all we need is to get someone in political power who's going to get us a good job and help us drive a nice car and live in a great house. Now, if we can get somebody in the White House who can do that for us, we're going to be all right. Yeah? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the land is polluted because of sin. In verse 11 of our text, the prophets and priests are profane. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways, and in darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them in the year of their punishment, says the Lord. The change that you see in the Bible is delineated by the quotation marks in chapter 11. And when you read the Bible, you need to be careful to read the punctuations. Because the punctuations are significant and they tell you things about the text. Now, Jeremiah was saying in verses 9 and 10, he was preaching as a prophet. Now, in verse 11, he starts to say exactly what God had said to him. God said to him, both prophet and priest are profane. You know what profanity is? Well, profanity in our culture and the way we use the word means cursing. Well, profanity, from what is described in the words that are used in the Hebrew here, is the vile religious practices of those who are in leadership. Vile religious practices of those who are in leadership. A disregard for what is holy. And what do we have, or what do we see in too many of our churches today? A disregard for the holiness of the Word of God. Well, both prophet and priest are profane. The prophets are false, speaking what they know that people want to hear, speaking from the imagination of their own hearts, rather than speaking from the Word of God. The priests are the ones who are supposed to be representing the people to God, and they're not representing the people. They're filling up their own bellies, like Eli and his sons did. God has found their wickedness in their house. That is, the priests live in the house of God, and God has found the wickedness in the house, and in his house, in the temple. They are profane, blaspheming, by their actions and by their vile thoughts and by their adulteries and by all the wickedness that they are doing. And what God says here is that their ways will become slippery and darkness will compass them. You ever tried to walk on oil in the dark? You know what's going to happen? Well, that's what's being said here. Their ways are slippery. The ways of the world are slippery ways. The people in the world who seem to prosper in the world, and we preached on this last week, the people in the world who prosper think that they're doing okay, but they don't know. They've got one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel. They're just about had it. Now, what God says here is that darkness, they're walking in darkness, and darkness is a metaphor for condemnation. They're void of Jesus, who is the light. Jesus is the light that lightens every man that comes into the world, and the people who are walking without Jesus are walking in darkness. No matter how great they seem to be getting along, they're walking in darkness, and God says, in the year of their punishment. Now, what God is alluding to here is that they are not necessarily going to be punished immediately. And this is the thing that deludes so many people into continuing in a lifestyle of sin. Because God does not judge right away. You think you're getting away with it, but you're not getting away with anything. Because God, there's going to come a day of judgment. There's going to come a time of judgment. God also notes the folly or foolishness of the prophets of Israel. That is, he notes the foolishness of the prophets of the northern kingdom who followed the sin of Jeroboam. All of them became idolaters, and it was this idolatry and the prophesying by Baal, which is a very ungodly false god. God judged Israel. And God reminds Judah from time to time that he had judged Israel. And they are doing worse than Israel did. He judged Israel. What's the matter with you folks? Couldn't you see? Can't you see what happened to those 10 tribes in the north? What's the matter with you? We have today false prophets who are preaching people into heaven. Beloved, let me tell you something. Nobody can preach you into heaven. If you're going to get to heaven, you'll get there because you commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. No other way. That's a false prophecy. And false prophets will be fed with wormwood and gall. God is going to judge the false prophets. And I'm going to tell you, preaching the Word of God is serious business. It is most serious business because preaching the Word of God deals with the salvation of the souls of people. And your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. There are only two places, either heaven or hell. I had a man I witnessed to this summer say to me, "Well, Bob, why are you so specific? Why is it that you're so definite? Why is it that you're saying either heaven or hell? Couldn't there be something in the middle?" Well, my answer to him, I don't think he was prepared for, but I told him, the fence is too sharp to sit on. You can't sit on the fence. Beloved, you're either on one side or the other. That's where it's at. You're on one side or the other. Now, the question is, with respect to our text today, and respect to what we've been setting before you, how do you know a false prophet? How do I know a false prophet? Well, in order for me to be discerning enough to determine whether or not a prophet or a preacher, which is prophesying, is right, true, and really on the mark, you need to know the Word of God. But if you don't know the Word of God, somebody can stand in the pulpit and tell you almost anything. If you don't know the Word. Now let me tell you something. For Christians, this is the most important issue in the church, to study the Word of God. You should come to Sunday school. You should come to Bible study. You should take advantage of the teaching ministries of the church. If you are at all able to do so, you ought to do that, because therein is your spiritual growth, your sanctification. You come to know more and more about the Lord as you know more and more about the Word of God, and you are able to discern whether or not a preacher is on center. How did I know that T.J. Jakes was not right? I knew he wasn't right because I know the Word of God. I praise God for that. I don't take any credit for it. God has been gracious to me in allowing me to study His Word for a long time, and I know the Word. Hallelujah. And I knew he wasn't right. Right away, I knew he wasn't right. You should be able to hold the teachings of the Word of God up to anyone who preaches or takes the liberty to tell you something that has an impact on your eternal soul salvation. When Family Radio came out with this book by Harold Camping, 1994, right away, as soon as I saw it, I knew that something was wrong. How did I know that? Well, the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour. I have a reference in your outline that it should be Mark 13:32 instead of Mark 15:32, but let me show you what that verse says. Mark, if I can find it here, Mark 13:32, this is what it says. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. That's how I knew. The man was lying. The man was a false prophet. When you prophesy something and it does not come to pass, you are a false prophet. Now let me share something else with you from the Word of God on this business of naming the date of Christ's return. If you turn to the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, it says, to me, Paul is talking about himself, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hid in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church. You see that, beloved? That it might be known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now this false prophet has also told people to leave the church. What does the Bible say about that? That God has committed the gospel to the church according to His eternal purpose. What did Jesus say in the Great Commission? Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. If you knew the Bible, if the people who had left this church and other churches knew the Bible, they wouldn't be following that false prophet. But he's a false prophet, and I told him so, to his face. Now, I'm not telling you anything here. I'm not saying anything here this morning that Harold Camping doesn't know that I said, because I told him. You're a false prophet. He's come out with another date that Jesus is supposed to be coming back, and that's not going to happen either. God says that He is going to be food and drink for the profane prophets, and it's going to be wormwood and gall. Wormwood and gall are awful things. Think of the bitterest thing that you can think of, and wormwood is probably twice as bitter. You think of the most unpleasant drink you've ever had in your mouth, and gall is probably three or four times worse. Wormwood and gall, you're going to feed them with wormwood and gall. When the word of God is faithfully proclaimed, profaneness diminishes in the land. When the word of God is not faithfully proclaimed, the land becomes polluted. Now, beloved, we ought to have an awe and reverence for the word of God. First of all, we need to know that the word of God is our guide for life. We need to know that God has provided everything for us out of this earth. And when I talk about the land being polluted, if you look around, you look in this building here, there isn't anything in this building that didn't come out of the earth, including you and me. The clothes you wear, the food you eat, the car you drive, if you drive a car, the house you live in, everything comes from the earth. And when the earth is polluted, that's bad for mankind. So, beloved, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ ought to walk uprightly before God, praying that God would preserve the land, because this is our land. The politicians and all of the people in power don't have anything to say about the providence and sovereignty of Almighty God. Nothing. You don't hear anything about the providence of God in all of the political campaigns that are going on now. And you won't. You won't. You know why? People hate that. Just like Asa and Ahab hated the words of the true prophets, and the Bible says that they hated them. People hate the word. People don't want to hear the word. You talk about sin, oh, that's not politically correct. You talk about judgment, oh, we don't want to hear nothing about judgment. Well, whether you want to hear it or not doesn't have anything to do with the reality of it. Beloved, our text today tells us that we should be on guard against false prophets and false teachers. We should not pay any attention to them. We should do everything that we can do to pray that the Lord would give us grace to walk uprightly before Him from day to day. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank You for Your word of truth, and we do thank You for the message that we have just heard, and we pray that You would be pleased by Your grace to make us fruitful doers of the word, not just hearers of it only. We beg it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.